Well, this is what you want. Open lines, those Friday night into Saturday morning open lines. So we shall do that in just a moment. You know, everyone has their own unique odd behaviors. I mean, everyone, which makes it difficult to know whether you have a psychological disorder or if you're just as abnormal as everyone else. Psychological disorders come in all shapes and sizes, and there seem to be as many conditions as there are people. Now, there's some body disorders, there's schizophrenia, there's depression, there are even some bizarre cases and harmless phobias, and some other very famous strange cases. Even the terminology varies from nuts to certifiably insane to eccentric, and the treatments vary, of course. Sometimes people are on medication, and of course I'm not a great big fan of some of the medications that they've put people on. But tonight we're going to open up the nuts line. I'm not here to make fun of you people who are seriously being treated by a doctor. I'm here for the eccentrics, for the strange, for the weird, those of you who think you're nuts. So that special hotline for you is 818-817-0021. That's 818-817-0021. For lack of a better name, it's the Nuts Hotline on Coast to Coast AM. By the way, I want to give you a report because I'm getting lots of emails from people who want to know about the great debate with JC and the Devil Channeler. Remember now, the Devil Channeler has backed out. He's not going to be in that debate with JC. And we continue the quest to find someone who can hold up to JC. So we're working on it. And you know what? We'll just see what we can find. Let's go to the phones now. We've got open lines for you for 3 hours. Plus the Nuts Line, right here on Coast to Coast AM. East of the Rockies, get us started. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir. Hi.
Hi, this is Josh from Charleston, West Virginia.
Sure, Josh.
I was wanting to tell you about a couple of experiences I had with angels. Sure. I was in a local church around here called Our Lady of Fatima, and I was praying. I was in there, and I was going through a very tough time in my life, and I knelt and I said, Saint Michael, help me, please. And I said, I just need to know, am I doing the right thing? I was trying to discern whether I want to go into priesthood or not. And this man came up, and he was like very tall, wearing a suit, and said, don't worry. He said, you're going to be raised on the last day. Do not worry. And after I tried to find this man later, I couldn't find him. It's just like he came out of nowhere and sat down and talked to me.
Did he come up there instantly? I mean, right while you were doing this?
I mean, he came up from like behind me and put his hand on my shoulder.
While you were doing this prayer?
Yeah, while I was praying. I was praying the St. Michael prayer.
Okay.
And another instance, I was in downtown Huntington, West Virginia, and I was, my car broke down. And I went and got some parts to fix it. And by the time I came out, it was dark. And, you know, it's a pretty dangerous place. And I said, Saint Michael, I need your help. I just felt like something bad was going to happen. I started walking, and it just felt like I was floating. And I got to my car, and in a time, it felt like nothing happened. And it humbles me even to this day, you know. And now I'm getting ready to enter to become a religious brother.
Well, good for you. Good for you. And it sounds like it's working for you, and that's the important thing. And, yes, I do believe in angels. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is George.
Well, George, hi. This is George.
All right, George. And I'm a truck driver out of Clearwater, Florida, and I'm up here in Oregon. And I just wanted to touch on the spirits attacking individuals. I've had instances that spirits have come against me while I slept, and then my whole body felt like I was, you know, paralyzed.
Now, there is sleep paralysis, George. You know that, right? That's
right,
a medical
yeah.
condition. Okay.
Right. And I'm just making a turn here. And I wanted to say to the listeners that I kind of use Ephesians 6:10-20. And, you know, you got to put that full armor of God upon you. And every time I use it, I never have any more instances.
You've been lucky, or you've had some faith?
Well, faith and being blessed, but I believe in angels, and your last caller was talking about when he was in church. Well, the same instance had happened to me about 8 months ago. I was in church and praying and had raising my hands, and I felt this hand. And now I'm 6 foot eight, and I thought I was the tallest guy in the church. This hand came behind me, right on my shoulder. It felt like it was three times the size of my hand. And, you know, being a human, you know, the first thing you want to do is look behind you. I looked behind me, there was nothing back there. So I just continued praying, and then I felt the squeeze on my shoulder. And then I moved my head backwards, and I felt like I hit a sword. It felt like a big ball. And I'm just thinking that that had to be by either my guardian angel or another angel just keeping his hands upon me.
You know, let me tell you, this is amazing that right off the bat, two callers would have these angelic intervention stories to tell us all. I wonder if something's going on where we're in urgent need of all of this. I wonder. That's very possible. Well, let's go to the nuts line. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi.
Well,
how are you?
Tell me why you called the line. I'm fine.
Wonderful. Well, it's so good to hear your voice. I've been listening to Coast to Coast just about every night since I was 14 years old. And every single morning of my life, no matter where I am, I talk about what was on Coast to Coast the night before.
Well, that doesn't make you nuts.
And right now I'm a school teacher in Honolulu, and I tell my kids every day something about the show from last night.
And that doesn't make you nuts. Why'd you call the nut line?
Oh, my whole life, everyone's calling me Crazy Carly. And I get this nickname no matter where I go. I don't know.
Crazy Carly? Why do they say this? I mean, you have little quirks or something?
I don't know. I think it's just my general energy and the way that I have about me. But
you don't think of yourself as nuts. I mean, you sound like you're a pretty decent school teacher.
Oh, thank you. But Coast to Coast has been such a big part of my life, and I'm like the biggest Coast to Coast fan, and I've spread the word for so many years about it, and it's just the most wonderful thing happening right now on the radio.
Well, Crazy Carly, thank you. I appreciate you doing that and keep spreading a good word about us. And you don't sound like you're nuts, but you called in anyway, and I appreciate that. The Nuts line, by the way, is 818-817-0021. For those of you who truly believe that you are a little eccentric, a little strange, a little nutty, let's go to our wild card line. You're up with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, it's Clive in Dallas. How are you doing tonight?
Good, good.
So this morning. I have a two-part question and a one-part comment.
Okay.
The first question is, when are you going to have a show again on UFO, maybe a roundtable UFO discussion about, just various matters?
Well, we've got two UFO shows slated for Monday and Tuesday. Not roundtables, but I think you're going to like both of them.
Oh, okay, great. And the other question is, when will the great Glennis McCants be on again?
The great Glennis McCants will probably be on. See, she was on about a month and a half ago, couple months probably.
Right.
She's on generally about three times a year, other than little spurts when she pops in and pops out.
Okay. And the comment is, while listening, as I was holding, I had an experience at a downtown hospital here in Dallas on an elevator descending about four floors to a garage. About a half a year ago, when someone who looked to be and presumably was a courier or was disguised as a courier came on the elevator and turned to me and asked me if I knew the Lord as my Savior, and I said that I questioned that. And he said, well, whatever you've done, you shouldn't feel guilty, because if God is to forgive you, who are you not to forgive yourself? And when it opened at the bottom level and he exited, I thought to myself, wow, that was really interesting, because, you know, however arbitrary or random it could be, I was experiencing something of a very heavy dimension at that time. And I think that, to me, that was proof that, that angels do exist.
There's no doubt. You know, I'm beginning to wonder if there's some kind of message here or some kind of messenger that they're coming out like crazy to talk with us or to try to guide us. I don't know. I don't know. There's something strange. You might remember a couple months ago, I talked on this program, and some of our psychics have talked about how strange things felt, that something big was about to happen, some major event. I don't know if the shootings at Virginia Tech would be part of that or what we were feeling, but that was sure a major event. And we were talking about that at least a couple months before it occurred. I think we have an ability on this program to sense things way before other people, and we just need to react. And this is very weird that we're getting so many angelic intervention stories. Very, very weird. First time caller line, where are you calling from? You're on the air. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, George. This is Brendan from Port Orchard, Washington.
Sure thing.
Love the show. Love the show. But I wanted to relay a story that happened to me about 15 years ago, which I guess you could call it a ghost story, maybe an entity story. I'm not exactly sure, but it was awful strange. Certainly wasn't an angel story, so I'll buck that trend. But I was 17 years old at the time, living in a house in Casper, Wyoming. Not really a house that had a lot of paranormal activity going on in it, but I was asleep in my bed. It was a pretty big bed. It was actually two twin beds put together. And I was asleep in the fetal position. I know that because that's how I woke up. And I had my back to my nightstand. And on my nightstand, I had a large 32-ounce glass of water, which I normally like to keep and actually still do in case you wake up in the middle of the night.
Yeah, and you don't have to go tracking through the house.
Right, and then you're up for an hour. So anyways, I was asleep, and it was about 3 a.m., and I was awoken by a male voice saying, "Get up!" And then I woke up, and then about half a second later, that big old 32-ounce glass came crashing down on me and just completely soaked me. And I had, my back turned to where this glass was. So there's no way that I could have, in my sleep, reached around and throw it up in the air and have it come right. crashing down on me. And it's like, what the bleepity bleep bleep? You know, I was a kind of a foul-mouthed punker and stuff.
And by the way, I appreciate the bleepity bleep.
Thank you. Well, it's a family program, I guess.
Yes, it is.
And anyway, so I went and turned on the light, and my door was a fairly small room, and my door was closed, and no one opened or closed the door while I was fumbling for the light, soaking wet with all this water on me. And I turned on the light, and there was no one else in the room. I was like, what the? And I looked under my bed, no one under there. There was just no one in there. And I was like,
all right, how about this? Here's a theory. You're asleep, you're thirsty. You reach for the glass, you grab it, you drop it on top of you. Possible?
No. Well, I thought of that, but I woke up and I had my, I was in the fetal position with my back turned to the...
when it happened.
And it was a distinct male voice right. that woke me up, and I was the only guy in the house at the time. I was living with my three sisters and my mom. So I have no clue, but, I woke up, changed my sheets. Obviously, couldn't sleep, with a bunch of water on there, and fell back to sleep. And woke up the next day, and I was like, "That was a weird dream. Well, was that a dream?" And I went and checked in the hamper, and my sheets were all, wet with water.
yeah, with water.
Right, with water. I made sure that it wasn't. Yeah. But yeah, it was a very strange happening, and it was just, wanted to relay that. And if you had heard of people having similar experiences.
I have never heard of an entity dumping a glass of water on somebody in one sleep. Now, did you live in the house by yourself?
No. I was 17. I was in high school.
Were there people in the house at the time? They weren't on vacation? They weren't gone?
No. Well, I had two little sisters and an older sister and my mom, but no men. And it was definitely a big, booming male voice that that woke me up.
That's strange. I don't know what happened to you, is it possible that one of your siblings did that? I mean, I don't know. Let's go to the nuts line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well, thanks.
I'm a truck driver from Los Angeles. I haul gasoline.
Well, and, you don't sound nuts. At least I hope you're not if you're hauling gasoline, huh?
Well, the reason why I was calling is because I listen to your show every night, and I hear people calling about, you know, having spiritual guidance and interventions and
sure.
feel like they have, you know, someone watching over them, a guardian. Well, I've always been in really crazy lines of work, and before hauling gasoline, I used to cut down dead trees in the Los Angeles area, Crestline, California, and, you know, get tree removal. And I've had two near-death experiences falling out of trees, you know, while removing them. That sounds like, you know, I should be dead because each time it was more than 40 feet.
Oh, my gosh. What happened to the trees? They just cracked because they were old?
Yeah, I was climbing. I climb up, you know, there's a lot of gear that you wear. You wear hooks. You bring up chainsaws, ropes. You bring up a lot of gear with you. And I was up this dead fir up in Mount Baldy, and we were doing the Edison's line clearance program.
Right.
And we were clearing out all the lines. And I just was up this tree one day, and it snapped out from underneath me, and I fell about 50 feet, and... The year before, the same thing happened. I was up a tree, and same thing, busted out. The first time I fell, nothing happened to me. I was okay. I brushed myself off. They said, hey, you fall greater than 10 feet. You know, you got to go take an ambulance ride. Well, I just said, no, I'm fine. Brushed it off. Nothing happened. The second time I fell out of the tree, I actually had, you know, some broken bones and stuff. But both times, I feel like I had, you know, somebody... A greater power watching over me.
Man, somebody, you know, like, somebody cushioned the blow when you fell. I guess you could say that occupation, you have to be nuts to do that, huh?
Well, yeah, and now I drive gasoline, and you know, we carry 8,800 gallons every time we go out, and I do about four runs a night.
You seem
safe every single night.
Well, that's good. You better keep coming home safe. You seem to enjoy the dangerous jobs, though.
I'm telling you, I heard the show about, you know, something about, you know, more robust genes and stuff. It's people who like hazardous jobs and occupations. And I thought to myself, you know, like, that's kind of interesting.
I mean, when you're driving a tanker full of gasoline, do you ever think, my God, if I do anything wrong here, this whole thing's going to go up?
Oh, no, I don't worry about me. I worry about these other drivers that are, you know, in and out of traffic, like, you know, the motorcycles and, you know, people who think that, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We're supposed to be professional drivers. They cut out in front of us, you know, and we're just, our trucks are equipped with the best brake systems around, but it's still kind of scary, you know.
Well, my first experience when I moved to Los Angeles, and all of a sudden, as you know, the freeways are jam-packed, and the motorcycles are allowed to go between the cars. And I didn't know that. And, I mean, these guys are flying down the middle. And I'm saying to myself, what if you just pulled over just a little bit to the left or right because maybe you wanted to try to change lanes? You could hit one of these guys.
Well, I've seen that happen before. I've seen a lot of death. I actually was a witness to a homicide with a car that got into it with another car. And drove him into the median, and the guy died, and he exploded into a fireball. And
Oh, my gosh.
I was the first one to call. My dispatch called in, and, you know, the police, the CHP called me and said that, you know, you're a witness to a homicide.
Well, all right, well, I'm not going to say you're nuts, but the occupations are pretty tough, but I guess somebody's got to do it. The nut line is 818-817-0021, and open lines continue tonight on Coast to Coast AM. I'm George Norrie. And the You've Got to Be Nuts line, 818-817-0021. Just got a telex from a friend of mine who said, hey, George, can I call in on the nuts line? Yeah, hey, David, you more than anybody should call in on that line. By the way, time to say hello to all of you who are listening on your very favorite radio stations across North America. We appreciate everything you do and the tremendous support you give us here at Coast to Coast. Streamlink members, Coast Riders, thank you, and understand that we're going to continue to do more and more new things for Streamlink members. So thanks for riding along with us, XM satellite members, and then the various chat rooms all around the country, the NighthawkZone.com folks, headed up by Bad Boy, who apparently has a bag full of secrets today and surprises, the Imaginative World folks, Fantastic Forum Pirates, Sorcery IRC, Into Infinity, Frog Forum, National Radio Club, and the various chat rooms all around this country, and also many of the soldiers who are in Iraq listening to us as we are speaking right now. Come home safe. We'll be back in a moment. I picked up for myself a very small portable DVD player whenever I take my trips back between Los Angeles and St. Louis. I mean, those are long flights, even if you break them up with stops someplace. And so I go out and I pick up movies, I buy them off of Amazon or someplace, and then I just watch them along the trip. And I always try to get something that's at least a couple hours long, and then I time it so it's perfect for me. So I'll be doing that when I go back to Los Angeles this weekend. But I've got to tell you, it is a great way. If you travel for a long time, these portable little DVD players are just fantastic. And you go out and get all the movies that you want. But I got to tell you, the worst movie that I have ever picked up, and I don't know why I did it, The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. The worst movie I have seen in my life. It got so bad, it actually was funny. But it was just horrible. And you know what? I don't want to knock you writers who put that together. Many of you are listening to us in Los Angeles right now. But that thing is the worst. The Adventures of Baron Munchausen. To the phones we go. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
George, how are you tonight?
I am fine. Thank you.
Super. This is Carol from Hamilton. Thanks for sharing. I have a story to do with your last guest there.
Okay.
That it had to do with my kids and a breakup with my ex-husband of 23 years or so.
Sorry to hear that.
Well, I'm doing better now because I'm not with him, right? But anyway, he's still connected with me with the kids, so it still kind of hangs around sometimes. But anyway, we had lived in 13 different apartments various times, and then finally we moved in with my mother-in-law, and that's where I think my ex-husband probably got his not hitting me or anything, but mental abuse sort of thing. So there, it just was a great big mix of the mother and my ex-husband kind of fighting with me. The kids were in this conflict, and my son started, he described things as, he called them car shadows. And people said, oh, it was the headlights coming in the window and stuff, but
yeah.
He had blinds, curtains and stuff like that. Right. And, I was already very spiritually connected with crystals and stuff like that. So I was in tune, and that's why I would ask him and stuff like that. And I would just tell him, baby, just say your prayer, because we had a prayer that we say, right, which is a really great prayer. And sometimes it would work. They would kind of go away. But the negative energy that was this went on for about 6 months until I left. It was very bad. Children's services was even involved and stuff like that. My younger son was only 18 months old, so he, didn't really communicate, so I don't know what was happening there. And one point he'd asked me, he said the shadow man had came, I'd actually was walking by his room. Everybody was asleep in the house, and I did see this thing, and it was low. Now, I don't know if it's the shadow people that you talked about the first time I heard it on your show. I was like, wow, I wonder if that's what those were. But it whipped by, and George, I was outside the bedroom door, and I almost didn't want to go in because I was scared for myself, But I said, God, that's my kid in there. And I went in, I turned on the light, and I said, if you're not from the white light, then be gone, right? Anyway, Bruce was fine, and I stayed in there. I probably fell asleep on the bed with him. And then one night he'd said to me, he goes, Mommy, can you make the shadow man go away, okay? And that really freaked me out.
The shadow man. Oh, absolutely.
And then when I said, what does it look like, baby? And he said, I can't remember if he said a chicken or a rooster head. Now, that blew me away, okay? A rooster head. Because, sometimes I see, I was open to him before. I said, sometimes, babe, mommy's dad comes down or her grandpa comes down, like he was, and my younger son now is very in tune with me.
Wait a minute, Carol. Could it have been almost reptilian?
You know what?
Maybe he confused a rooster head for one of these reptilians.
Well, no, he's my son is he's six now, and he has a reading ability of a grade six child.
Okay,
he's incredibly in tune. Like stuff he says to me sometimes is amazing. Like he's so open, and I think I opened more with him since he's young because I was working with the chakras. But anyway, once I moved out of the house and here, I was going through pictures and stuff, and there's a picture with something in it, and I never noticed it before, and I'm looking at it now, and it creeps me out.
What's it look like, Carol?
Both my boys are on Bruce in Bruce's room, and up in the corner, it's just like it's a blob. It almost kind of looks like a, you can hardly see a circle. It's like dark shadow, and it's got like these, it's just a blob of dark, and you can see specks of red in it, and it's just really gross, and I'm not going to look at it now. But my girlfriend, who's very spiritual, I came down to Hamilton because that's where I was looking for a place because I was up north, isolated and whatnot. She, you know, I was telling her about these things with Bruce, right? And she said, Kat, why don't you grab, I go by Kat as well as Carol, why don't you grab one of those dream catchers? She had some in her shop. She's got like a tattoo studio.
Right.
And I had to stand on the counter to get one, and I went to reach for one. And she said, no, not that one, Kat, grab that one. So I took it home that weekend, and that actually helped Bruce, right? But anyway, it was just a really bad situation. And now that I'm here, I still have a lot of conflict with my ex-husband because he was mentally abusive.
Well, you know, Carol, just like our guest was just saying last hour, when you bring in this kind of evil negativity and it surrounds yourself, and I don't know how your husband obtained it. Sounds like when you first married, it wasn't there and it started to crop up later. That's going to affect everybody. And that evil was there and it still may be there, as you say, when he still comes by every once in a while. But the important thing is take care of the little guy. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, George. Yeah, I was wondering about, I had some dreams quite a while back, and it was about some lady in some black robe or something. It sort of scared the heck out of me. And I just wanted your input on it because it took me by surprise. Maybe I was 24, 25 years old, and I'm 39 now. And
Was she evil looking? Could you see her face?
Yeah, she was very just, it was a nasty, they were nasty dreams. So it just got to the point 3 or 4 days later, you know, I work on heavy machinery, and it was keeping me up at night, and I was looking under the sheets and the bed, you know, looking all around. And I was just, I decided one night just to, you know, I'm going to go to sleep, and I'm going to confront this person. Because this person's in my dreams, and you know, and I can't sleep, and I need to go and do my job. So what I did is I confronted this person.
In your dream?
Yeah, correct. In my dream, and I confronted this person, and this lady, whatever she was wearing, a robe, or I don't know what the heck it was, but she had really just a sour-looking face, and she was always in my face every time you turned around. It was just like one of those scary movies. Bam, she was
there.
Well,
what happened when you confronted her?
Well, when I confronted her, she did the sour, you know, shoving, pushing. So I decided to put it bluntly, I bopped her in the nose.
Did it work?
Well, yeah, I bopped her in the nose, and she looked at me. Instead of having these sour-looking eyes or just mean-looking eyes, her eyes got really big. And I just start bobbing her some more, telling her to get out of my dreams, get out of my dreams.
Well, let me tell you something. If it works, you know, when we had Rosemary Ellen Guiley on, and she's one of our dream experts, she probably would have told you the same thing, that what you were doing was cleansing yourself from this person, removing yourself from this evil, and that was the way your mind does it, you know, by popping her in the nose. If it worked, it worked. Next up, Wild Card Line, you're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi, George. My name is Frank. I'm from Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Frank. How are you?
Good. I got two quick things. One is a suggestion for a guest, and one's a theory about what's going on in the world today.
All right.
And the suggestion for a guest is the host for Digging for the Truth, Josh Bernstein.
Digging for the Truth.
What's up?
Digging for the Truth.
Yes, he was. I just watched. He had a special on Atlantis and was really interesting. He's always going to these weird places.
We'll check him out for you.
Okay. And my theory with, like, the Virginia Tech shootings, the FDA, is it's kind of like good versus evil, but with any fight where one person is more confident than the other, when they start losing, they start lashing out more. And everybody's consciousness is starting to grow, as, you know, with your show helping. I wonder if the evil is just lashing out more and trying desperately to pin us down, and we're just not taking it anymore.
It's the setup, I think, and you may be right in this respect. I think we're setting ourselves up for the great confrontation. I think it's coming.
Definitely.
Whatever it is, good versus evil, it's coming together. It really is. Let's go to the Nuts line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, this is Susan, and I'm from Dallas. I think I'm kind of nuts because I got voices in my head.
All right. Susan, what's been going on?
Well, a couple of months ago, my friends and I, we started playing the Ouija board, which I've kind of touched on off and on throughout my life. But I never really got anything, and people didn't really want to play. But I started playing, and we did it every night. And it got to the point where I could play it by myself. Then from there, it went to auto writing, because what was happening is when I was playing it by myself, I could hear kind of what he was saying. And sometimes he'd get kind of mad because I'd get to the words before him. And then, and we had a lot of deep conversations, you know, about the Bible and stuff. And then at one point he said, well, you know, you're keeping me here and I don't want to be here. And I said, okay, you can go. And he's like, well, he said he was a demon. And he's like, well, you know, his name was William. And he's like, you know, he said, I'm a demon, but I don't like to eat souls. But he said, I don't like the taste, but some do. And he said, I'm telling you right now, don't try to contact me, because if you do, you won't get me. You'll get others. And I let it go, and we parted. And one day I was really mad at something, and on paper I wrote down my anger, and I started getting to talking, you know, and like when I was auto-writing. And normally when I auto-write, I can put down the paper and walk away, and I don't have a problem. Well, that night, I talked to him some more, and that was fine. Well, the next day, you know, because I could put it down and leave, right? The next day, though, at work, I noticed that I didn't need the paper anymore, that it was in my head. And then halfway through the day, I realized I wasn't talking to William. I was talking to something else.
In your head. And these voices continue now to this day?
Oh, yeah. And so a friend of mine took me to the priest at his church, and they did an exorcism, and he basically said that I have to keep continually not listening to them. The last 3 days have been really doing good, but usually in the morning when I'm getting ready for work, that's when they start up, you know. So, you know, and now every now and then during the day, but it's pretty nasty because, you know.
Well, I trust you're not playing with the Ouija board anymore, are you?
That's the sad thing is that. You know, I wish I would have paid attention to what people had said before.
You should. And sadly, we are going to do a Ouija board experiment when I get back to Los Angeles. I'll be back Monday, but the experiment will be a few weeks from now. And everyone I've talked to, friends, fast blasts, emails, I haven't gotten one comment from someone that said, do this. I don't know if you're trying to protect me or our staff members, but everybody is convinced within our little group here of putting Coast to Coast together that we should try a Ouija board experiment by bringing one in with some people. And so I think we're going to do this in spite of everybody's recommendation that we don't. And, as you know, those of you who picked up our book, Worker in the Light, my first chapter is devoted to a very horrible, bizarre Ouija board experience I had So I'm not looking forward to this, but I'm kind of being pushed into it by our staff, even though I have veto power, as they constantly remind me. They want to do this. And we're going to do seances too, but I mean, this Ouija board thing, they are hot to trot for it. And I'm not sure I am, but we'll see what's going to happen. Well, we'll continue. Still have a few more minutes left. However, next hour, I'm in now one of my musical modes. So someone who knows how to play a mean clarinet, give me a call next hour as well. And, of course, the nut line will continue all night long, as will your open line calls. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Well, howdy.
Hey, where are you calling from?
Hey, George, this is Bob from Oregon. I had talked to you.
Oh, sure, Bob. I know the voice.
You remember my voice?
I do. I pick up voices. I don't remember all the names, but I get the voices.
Well, you know, we were cut off. I started to tell you about, it's a real hard thing to talk about. And another thing, it's hard to get through to you, sir.
Well, I know that, but let me tell you something. Every time lately when we're getting into something very strange or controversial, it's like someone's on another line listening and just clips it.
Do you think that's possible? Do you think?
Yeah, I do. I do now.
I do too, George. I believe that that's very possible. What I wanted to talk to you about tonight, you have some interesting things going on in here that I can relate to, the Ouija board thing. Wow. A real weird experience that I had with that. I would say, George, be careful.
Yeah, I agree. You got a fan with me on that.
Yeah,
I don't really want to do it, but
don't put your heart into it. That's put it that way.
Yeah.
You literally know, the Lord says try the spirits. Let's just know which ones we're trying. But what I called in for, George, I've been trying to get a hold of you for quite a while, and I've spoke to a lady that I think you know by the name of Eileen Proctor.
Yes.
Trying to get a hold of Jimmy Walter. I've got a few things that Jimmy needs to hear. He needs some vindication, and another hard person to get a hold of.
Oh, I don't know how you get a hold of him.
Perseverance, maybe. And who knows,
what do you want to get a hold of him for, Bob?
I have got some information, George, that I want to share with Jimmy. I want to share it with you. And I want to, if Alex Jones would like to get involved, I'd like to share it with him.
Sure. Now, why don't you mail me something just so we can get a head start on this?
Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to go out on a little limb here, and I'm going to let the viewers or the listeners, kind of get a feeling for what's going on. You know, with the massive amount of people that are out looking for the smoking gun, the extraterrestrials, the ships, and we see a lot of stuff coming in from Mexico that is bizarre stuff, and it's on their 2020 equivalent, Premier Impacto, just a few weeks ago, about the Flying Witches of Mexico. Did you hear about that?
Oh, absolutely. Hold on, Bob. We want to get to you during the break. Tommy will pick up your phone call, and we'll get your number. That way you can give us the information. We can call you back and find out what the heck's going on.